Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about Project Patriot from General Mills, and we'll hear the story of the immortal chaplains of World War II. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
February 3rd, 1943, a United States Army transport, the SS Dorchester, tragically sank off the coast of Greenland. Witnesses of the event recounted the heroic actions of four chaplains of different faiths, whose heroic and selfless acts that day saved the lives of many men. The chaplains included Lieutenant George L. Fox, a Methodist, Lieutenant Alexander D. Good, of Jewish faith, Lieutenant John P. Washington, a Catholic, and Lieutenant Clark V. Poling, a Dutch Reformed minister. During the 18 minutes the transport was sinking, the four chaplains went sailor to sailor to calm fears and to hand out life jackets. When there were no more life jackets to hand out, the four chaplains removed their own life vests and gave them to the troops in need of protection. The four chaplains went down with the ship, arm in arm, in prayer. The chaplains' unique interfaith spirit and love for their fellow men is a lesson for all and amplifies the quality and dedication of the chaplain corps in the military.
Thank you, General Nash. We'll have more on the story of the immortal chaplains of World War II with Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn, second half of the show, so stay tuned for that. Now, in our first segment here, we've got one of our producers and a friend of the show, Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach with us. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
Annette, can you give us a little update? What are you up to now in terms of Yellow Ribbon Networks, communities, and companies? How many?
Well, we're doing great. We're continuing to sustain the effort across Minnesota. We have 212 communities that are involved that make up 95 networks in 26 counties, and we have 42 Yellow Ribbon companies that have joined our synchronization efforts across the state.
My goodness, you've been busy.
It has been amazing. We're looking at sustainment efforts and ensuring that we've connected all resources and partners across the state to our Yellow Ribbon networks.
And everybody's trading best practices and all the things they're doing to help our military families.
Yes, we're getting ready. Twice a year, we bring all the Yellow Ribbon companies together to share best practices and build relationships. And once a year, we hold Joining Community Forces events across the state to bring our Yellow Ribbon communities and key partners together.
And Annette, you brought in one of your Yellow Ribbon companies today and a couple of guests. Could you introduce them for us?
Yes, I will. I'm happy to be here with representing General Mills today. They became a Yellow Ribbon company in 2012. And as part of their commitments, they have done amazing things, not only synchronizing the great things that are happening within their organization, but coming up with a project called Patriots Network. And I wanted them to highlight it today to talk a little bit about how they're leading organizations and key partners across Minnesota to really make great things happen for our service members and veterans. So today I brought with me Tom Hammond and Mark Martin from General Mills to talk a little bit about Patriots Network and the good things that are happening within General Mills.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Mark, I want to start with you. I understand that you're in the military?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us about your military career, what you're doing?
Sure. So I am Major Mark Martin in the Minnesota Army National Guard. I am the commander of the RTSM at Camp Ripley. We're a full-time schoolhouse that teaches soldiers how to turn wrenches on wheeled and tracked vehicles and do some recovery efforts out in the field. And it's been a great experience working with those guys and teaching future generations of military how to sustain the force and just be great soldiers.
And you're full-time with General Mills?
I am. I like to tell people I make Cheerios, and they think that's pretty funny, you know, when you're out and about. But I think everybody here in the state at least knows General Mills is a very great company and something that's definitely good for Minnesota. So.
And Tom, I understand you're a veteran.
I am. I am, Tom. I did ROTC to pay for college and did about 6 years as an active duty Army officer. So I got a chance to live in Oklahoma, Texas, Korea, a little bit of time in Kuwait, and just really enjoyed my time.
And you're full-time with General Mills as well?
I am full-time with General Mills for about 15 years.
In IT, I understand.
I think Mark is more on the IT side. Nope. I'm actually an operations guy. So I've worked in about three different manufacturing plants and work in our supply chain.
Mix that up. He's your supply chain and he's IT project manager. Okay, we got that straight. Gentlemen, when General Mills became, probably before they became Yellow Ribbon in 2012, is there a network support group within General Mills? Mark?
Yes, there is. General Mills has had a veterans network as part of the diversity inclusion effort for probably about the last 3-4 years now. And that's just a network within the company that focuses on several different pillars of service, outreach, retention, efforts to hire transitioning military service members. It's just been a great opportunity to kind of come together with those that have a similar background and do some things at General Mills that we otherwise might not be able to do as individuals and come together as a group. We celebrate Veterans Day, and we have events that we sponsor that we bring in mentors and mentees and programs that help transitioning veterans. So it's been a really great program.
Tom, that sounds like a program that all the veterans in General Mills would probably try to gravitate over towards.
Yeah, it is, Tom. It's one of those that, you know, in my early years, probably not a lot of veterans, and I think it's one as we started to build that awareness of all the veterans in General Mills and kind of reached out, and then it, like Mark had outlined, have formed a club about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's been good. It's been helpful not only internally, but then also to get that group together and do some good things in the community.
We're speaking with Tom Hammond and Mark Martin from General Mills on Minnesota Military Radio. Mark, I want to come back to you. There's a program there called the Patriots Network Minnesota. Can you tell me what that is and how it started?
You know, actually, I'm going to hand it off to Tom on that one. I think he's got the con on that, so sorry about that.
Annette, we better get these signals straight. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, I appreciate it. You know, Tom, the concept for the Patriots Network goes back to about the summer of 2013, and that was General Mills along with a couple other companies recognizing the need that we've got a good opportunity here with the talent getting out of the military service, but then want to retain them and keep them with some companies. We've got a lot of great companies here in Minnesota, so keep that talent here. So what we did is we had a gentleman with General Mills named John Struthers, interviewed quite a few companies in the Twin Cities, some government agencies, some academics, and we really came back with there's two key needs. There's one is pre-employment, and then the other one is retention. And so one of our original leaders, Jeff Marone, he brought me on board about a year ago. And a lot of what I do in General Mills is facilitation, leading teams through the process. We had a great group of working volunteers, and that was one, and really went from a concept of how could we help these veterans into the Patriots Network and really came up with the mission. And to me, the powerful partnership here is with government and academia and business. So I think it's something that we can bring, leverage all the partners, and figure out how we're going to get forward. So we're really starting small. We plan to grow over time. And an example of where we feel like we can get out into the community is it may sound simple, but it's things like job fairs, transition assistance events, things like that. And our focus, our mission is really going to be on that pre-employment. And if you boil it down to it, it's resumes. How do I write a good resume? You know, the resume is the thing that gets you in the door for an interview. And then the second part is the interviewing skills. So I can tell you my own story 15 years ago. You know, I spoke in acronyms. I did not have a suit in my closet. Didn't know how to color coordinate a tie, things like that. But I worked with a company, and they really helped me on making the resume so somebody in corporate America could read it and understand the talents that I could bring, as well as the interviewing, giving me, I still remember, no cards, 25 different questions, and really giving me the insights on how I could get into an interview, speak in plain English, and really make a connection there and find a good job.
You know, I don't remember any ties either in basic training, but I thought in officers training school they might have shown you how to do that.
They tried to get you to be an officer and gentleman, but I tell you, there's still days I miss wearing the battle dress uniform and picking up the pair of boots. You did not need to stand there in the closet and figure out what you're going to wear.
Yep, grab the next green thing and put it on.
You got it.
Off you go. For our listeners out there, Jeff Marone is also at General Mills, and we had him on about a year ago talking about the mentoring program with American Corporate Partners, and you can find that podcast on the website. Mark, who are the companies and the partners that make up the Patriots Network Committee, and how are they organized?
Well, Tom, we have several great partners, both companies and government agencies that are involved with Patriot. Of course, General Mills, which we're here today, but also Cargill, Best Buy, McGuff Construction, U.S. Bank, Ameriprise Financial, Wells Fargo, Medtronic. And then from a government agency perspective, we have the Department of Labor, Department of Military Affairs, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, which is actually a DOD sponsored program. We have the Department of Employment and Economic Development in Minnesota, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, known as MACV, Department of Natural Resources, and last but not least, MinSCU has been a great partner, and they really layer on with, you know, it's in their wheelhouse to have graduates that are coming out of colleges in Minnesota, and they visit the business office when they're ready to go out there into the job market and get a job, and they get coached on resume and dress and how to answer interview questions and things like that. So that really, really ties into what we're trying to do with the Patriot Network as well.
Mark, that sounds like part of a guest list from the last couple of years of the folks that we've had on the radio show talking about how they all work together. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the Patriots Network and how you cooperate and coordinate with those all of those different firms and agencies you just mentioned. We're talking to Annette Kuiper, Tom Hammond, and Mark Martin on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with the couple of members from General Mills, which is a yellow ribbon company, along with Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach, and the lady that's hugely responsible for building the yellow ribbon networks around Minnesota. And we have Tom Hammond, Senior Manager, Supply Chain Strategic Initiatives. That's a mouthful, Tom.
It is a mouthful.
And Mark Martin, IT Project Manager from General Mills. Tom, I want to come back to you. We've been talking about the Patriots Network Minnesota. Can you just briefly once again tell us what's that about and what's the mission?
Thanks, Tom. The Patriots Network is a fairly informal partnership, but some great volunteers that combine volunteers from businesses in Minnesota, some government agencies, and then academia. And we found just we're going to start small grassroots, but really focus on that pre-employment phase. So when vets are getting out of the military and trying to transition and hopefully finding a job with some great companies in Minnesota, help them make that transition. And really boils down to, not to be overly simple, but resumes, how to do a good resume, get attracted, or have a good company be attracted to that resume and want to bring you in for an interview. And then the second part is how to go into a room with a recruiter and give a good interview, be able to translate your skills and show how you can bring value to a Minnesota company.
So this is all about helping our veterans and the people that recently got out of the military shine up a little bit and get ready to go out and interview and find jobs.
It is, and I know that's oftentimes, I remember thinking 15 years back, that's a stressful time. You know, it's a big transition going from a job that you know and a culture that you know and into an environment where there's really a lot of unknowns. And I think even the interviewing process, a lot of times with the internet, you may submit an online resume and it kind of goes into a black hole and you don't know what happens behind the scenes. Or if you're fortunate enough to get a call from a company and go in for an interview, that's pretty stressful. And so the story I'll tell is recently had ABRA called us and was very interested in volunteering. They have a director of human resources, and he has done some similar volunteer work. And what we found is with a couple of the events that we've already worked so far, on an informal basis, if we can talk to some of these vets that are making the transition and sit down with them and say, you know what, here's how a resume works. Here's the kind of things that you need to put into it, and that gets your foot in the door. And then I think even more powerfully is in a non-interviewing environment, sit down and talk through how an interview works, what are the right things to translate. I remember doing a little bit of resume work with a Special Forces soldier who was convinced that he had to get into security work. And as we talked through over about the course of about a half an hour, I realized this gentleman would be an outstanding trainer. You know, it kind of went to, if you can train 400 people in Afghanistan with not a whole lot of resources in a second language, very easy for you to come into a corporate American business environment and teach people on how to do something. So a lot of it's making those connections and showing people the value they can bring to businesses in Minnesota.
Well, if you can train them to go to war and get them home safe, you sure should be able to come back into business and train them how to do business well.
Absolutely.
Mark, it seems like with the cutbacks in Congress and the budget cuts and all that stuff, they're projected to have a lot of people coming out of the military in the next couple of years. This is pretty timely for this project, isn't it?
You know, absolutely it is, Tom. And, you know, you talk about those guys that are, and girls making those transitions from a military into the civilian world. A lot of times it's just an opportunity for them to understand how to speak the language. You know, if you ever look down a list of job postings and you look at all the things that they're looking for, it's like speaking another language altogether, especially for a green or a blue or, you know, somebody like Air Force, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, you don't have those types of conversations in the service. Everyone's got a rank. There's a structure. You know, it's a lot more nebulous on the civilian side, and it can be difficult and sometimes daunting to step into that world and not really know spatially where you're at or where you fit. So sometimes it's difficult like that.
It's a little bit like the rules of the show. I didn't tell you guys earlier, but we have three rules in here. One is no politics. Two is no acronyms. And three is no cussing. And a lot of times when the Marines come in, they just leave when they hear that. But, you know, I know Sergeant Johnny and a lot of the people in the National Guard, including you probably, Major, could just rattle off a bunch of acronyms the military to understand what you're talking about, but civilians don't have a clue.
Well, the fun thing is when you start getting the same acronyms for different meanings. So you might have an acronym in the Army that means completely something different in the civilian world. And so you're throwing these things out there and everybody's looking at you like, what are you talking about?
Where'd you come from?
Exactly.
Mark, how are you going to work? You told us a big list of companies and organizations that you're working with. How are you going to pull that all together and be a cohesive unit?
Well, that's a great question, Tom. You know, these organizations and companies are part of an all-volunteer-based effort to come together and provide governance and support. And usually it ties directly back to their larger veteran employment initiatives in each of the agencies and companies that you're talking about. So a lot of cases, companies are out there and they're looking for an opportunity to interface with transitioning veterans. And they don't always have a great vehicle to do that. And so this network actually provides them an opportunity to plug in. We have several subcommittees and working groups focused on specific initiatives such as outreach, training, and marketing on the programs that the Patriot Network supports. And it's just a great opportunity to get out there and connect transitioning veterans to great companies that are looking for competent and professional people to staff their organizations.
So are you setting up a series of meetings with all of these different organizations to coordinate?
We are setting up opportunities, and we'll be setting up an annual rhythm, if you will, of opportunities to get out there. There's plenty of things on the calendar that all these different agencies and organizations are already doing. And so what we want to do is we want to be somewhat of a clearinghouse so that we can be a central location for companies and veterans to come onto and say, okay, it's coming into February now, so what's going on in February out there that we could plug into and really be part of something that's bigger than us but allows us to still have an impact with the whole Veterans Employment Initiative. And so then they'll get on the website or the space where we have the calendar, and they'll be able to look at it and say, oh, this is what's going on in February and this is what's going on in March and April. They'll be able to plan that out. And in a lot of cases, that's really helpful because it's about connecting people and organizations, right?
So we're speaking about the Patriots Network Minnesota with Tom Hammond and Mark Martin from General Mills on Minnesota Military Radio. Tom, what are the top initiatives that the Patriots Network in Minnesota is hoping to address?
You know, I think it gets back to Tom. It's really, we were trying to be very focused with our mission, and there's a lot of great organizations out there doing a lot of great work. And for us, I think it was just that partnership again of business, academia, government, and focusing on that pre-employment phase. The other one we didn't mention that we recognized as a need and we want to get to, too, is also the retention. So sometimes that transition from the military to a corporate environment, every company has its own culture, its own ways of getting things done, their own history. And for me personally, I'll share that was a tough transition for me the first couple of years. I grew up as an Army brat, lived in a lot of different cultures, 6 years in the military. But making that jump into corporate America was rough. And then I think having that focus, helping people with the retention, that transition is normal for everyone. So I think once we get the pre-employment done, if we can then go into the retention and make sure that once we hire these great vets with these great skills, make sure we bring them up to speed with the company cultures and retain them as long-term employees.
Now, Tom, every employer is looking for good employees that will show up on time and do a good job and disciplined. And that sounds like everything we learned in basic training. But occasionally there's some employers out there that think, what if I get a damaged vet? What if I get somebody that's got some trouble? Fact is, very few of our veterans are having trouble, and the VA hospital can help them today. And the vast majority of them came back normal, hardworking, ready to go, don't they?
Yep, they're definitely folks with great skills and experiences. And, you know, I got hired with General Mills. I had no food industry background and no manufacturing background. Was able to bring leadership skills, project management skills, interpersonal skills, and those are the kind of skills that companies definitely need today and vets can offer.
Mark, if there's some listeners out there, some companies that want to help and participate, what do they do?
So we have monthly network meetings hosted at General Mills World Headquarters in Golden Valley. They can either come and be part of it there, or they can join by WebEx or phone. And companies who are interested in becoming part of the network, or even companies or agencies that are interested in receiving some of the veteran-specific training that we're looking to offer, can contact either Tom or myself, and I can give you my contact information. It's mark.martin@genmills.com or by phone at 763-764-7200. And if I'm not available, please just leave a message with all the five W's. Tell me who you are, what you want, what you're looking to do, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
And Mark, if you leave that contact information with Sergeant Johnny, we'll put it up on the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. A lot easier for our listeners to remember that. Get in there, pick it up, and go.
Outstanding. And just so we're clear, you know, I'm not offering to get out there and, you know, beat the hedges for every single person that's looking for a job. I'm looking to connect good people and good organizations. So looking to help those companies and those veterans find a place to plug in. So,
Annette, final word goes to you. We got about a minute left. Another great Yellow Ribbon company, and they're doing wonderful things to help our veterans.
Absolutely. This is just an amazing example of what a Yellow Ribbon company can do to really go over and above to support our service members, veterans, and military families, and to have General Mills really synchronize the statewide effort. It has been an amazing, they've been an amazing partner to help us really come all together and access all their wonderful leadership throughout their organization.
And very quickly, you've got an event coming up for your Yellow Ribbon companies.
Yes, March 6th, twice a year. Again, we bring all of our Yellow Ribbon companies together to share best practices, build relationships, and update them on initiatives. And that is also another way that we synchronize efforts across the state.
Annette, thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach, along with Tom Hammond and Mark Martin from General Mills on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we'll hear the story of the immortal chaplains from World War II. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll hear from Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn talking about the story of the immortal chaplains of World War II. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor our African-American veterans, those serving today, and those who have served throughout history. African-Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of every race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contributions African-Americans have made to our state and country.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Returning to the show for I don't know how many times is Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn. Chaplain, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Always a pleasure to be back and to talk with you, Tom.
Good to have you here on the show, sir. Can you just share with our listeners a little bit about your military career? You started out as an enlisted soldier, and then you got the calling.
I did. I spent 15 years enlisted. I was started out in the Minnesota National Guard back when President Reagan was in office, if you can believe that. Spent some time in active duty, came up the ranks, got the call to ministry right after September 11th, became a chaplain, graduated from seminary, and then I was, of course, deployed, as most of our chaplains in the Minnesota National Guard have been. And then almost 2 years ago, I was given the privilege of taking a job as the full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard.
And that's been quite a job, hasn't it?
It is a great job. To be able to provide for the needs of soldiers and airmen and their families is incredibly humbling. And chaplains, as with most caregivers, their work is never done.
Well, chaplain, in this case, I've been watching you. I believe you. And I'm, for one, am very impressed and pleased at the time you spend with the families of those that are deployed.
This past weekend, I was down at Ironwood Springs Ranch in Stuartville to spend time with Gold Star families. So these are families who have lost a loved one who have served in uniform. And, you know, part of the threefold mission of the Chaplain Corps, nurture the living, care for the wounded, and honor the fallen. One of the ways we do that is to provide support and care at events for Gold Star families as well, because, you know, one of the important things about the Warrior Creed is that we'll never leave a fallen comrade behind, or their families for that matter. So it's a great honor.
And Chaplain, as you know, last fall there was a Gold Star family retreat, and we interviewed a number of the Gold Star families, and we've put that all together, and it'll be a special program on Minnesota Military Radio over the July 4th weekend.
Yeah, looking very forward to that, and I was really glad to be a part of that as well, with Rocky Lynn and yourself and others down there at the resort.
Chaplain, we're here today to talk about some very, very special chaplains, the immortal chaplains of World War II.
That's right. For those in the listening audience who are not aware of the story, this inspirational story of the Immortal Four Chaplains, as they're called, is that they gave their lives to save both civilian and military personnel. This was in the North Atlantic in 1943, February 3rd, in fact, as we heard from General Nash earlier, he talked about the troop ship Dorchester, had hundreds of sailors and soldiers, 902 servicemen to be exact. It was crowded to capacity. And the takeaway is that when this ship was torpedoed by a German sub, there were four chaplains on board who ultimately stood up, ended up giving up their life jackets, and went down with the ship. And it is an incredible story. There were four chaplains that were remarked to have been on the deck together, offering hope, singing hymns, and it was a Methodist minister, Chaplain Fox, a rabbi, Chaplain Good was his name, a Catholic priest, Chaplain Washington, and then a minister from the Reformed Church tradition, Chaplain Poling. And they put people on lifeboats, and they gave up their own life jackets. So it's an incredible story.
Four chaplains, arm in arm, calming all the troops that were panicking around them, singing hymns and praying. It must have been something to see, Chaplain.
I can't even imagine. There's really no way to put it into context. I haven't traveled overseas on a ship. In the darkness and the cold and the chaos, these gentlemen chose to remain calm and to really commit to this concept of cooperation without compromise. In other words, the rabbi, didn't call out for Jewish personnel. I needed Jewish personnel to give a life jacket to because we're the same faith tradition. It didn't matter. And even today, and we'll talk about this more in a little bit, but chaplains are committed to providing for the needs of all service members. So what's so special about it to us today is that this is the embodiment of that concept, that we provide for the needs of all of our personnel. So a little bit more about the story. This sub got hit. Ultimately, only 230 people survived. And once they got hit, the chaplains went about opening storage lockers. And so they didn't panic. They went back to their training to remain calm and to get through this together. And as the ship went down, as we talked about, they were offering prayers, singing hymns, and hanging out life jackets. Here's what's really interesting to note that I think most people don't know kind of behind the story is that before Chaplain Poling boarded the Dorchester, he wrote a letter to his father and asked his father to pray for him. And he wrote a letter, and this is what he said in the letter. In asking his father to pray, he prayed not for my safe return, because that wouldn't be fair. Just pray that I shall do my duty to never be a coward and have the strength, courage, and understanding of men. Just pray that I shall be adequate. That's remarkable, and I think all of us who have served as chaplains or members of unit ministry teams across the globe would say that we couldn't do our job without the prayers and the thoughts of our loved ones back home.
We're speaking with Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn about the four immortal chaplains of World War II on Minnesota Military Radio. Chaplain, as I sit here and listen to you tell the story, I'm thinking about these four chaplains, these four men of faith, who acted so calmly and did everything they could to save as many of the troops as they could. But you have to think that they knew, being men of faith, that within a short period of time, they'd be seeing their maker.
Absolutely. And so, I think back to my own experiences as a chaplain deployed overseas. I was with an aviation battalion out of St. Paul, National Guard unit, 2007, 2008, deployed in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. And as I prepared for this mission, I had a mentor chaplain who, really challenged me to do some deep thinking. What would it be like for me if I was in a situation where I had to be prepared to meet my maker? And that, that of course, leads its way to a conversation that you have with your Creator in your own time, usually in the dark of night when you're alone and you've got time to think about that. And I know based on your own experiences deployed as a combat soldier, you probably had that very same experience. And it really brings clarity. And I think it really forces you to decide what really matters in your life. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. As difficult as it was to be able to steel yourself ahead of, you know, a potentially catastrophic event where you may not make it home. You know, that's what we say about courage. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. So a lot of prayer went into my experience. As you can see from the letter from Chaplain Poling to his father, he would ask for prayer, certainly as a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. We can assume that. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. No chaplain goes into theater, and I don't think any soldier or airman should go into theater of operations or any service member for that matter without taking the issue of, you know, their eternal destiny into consideration.
Chaplain, it's fascinating to listen to the story and the faith that they had and the things that they did, but it's also interesting to know that they were serving people from all different kinds of faith and religion. And as you said, the four of them didn't pick and choose. The Catholic priest didn't pick Catholic to give his life vest to. These guys were trying to help everybody, and it didn't matter what religion.
Doesn't matter. It's cooperation without compromise. And that's what chaplains come into the armed services adhering to. That's a concept that ensures that no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, if you're a person of faith or even if you're a person who isn't you know, ascribed to a particular faith tradition, chaplains can even be available to service members like that just as a matter of confidentiality, giving them a safe place to talk. And if they want the topic to switch over to things of faith, they can certainly do that. But chaplains are there for everyone. We don't turn anybody away. The other thing that I would note about these four chaplains is they were given awards, the Distinguished Service Cross and the Purple Heart. They didn't do what they did for any kind of glory. They did it because it was a sense of calling and a sense of service to their fellow man, which transcended all the religious tradition. They were recognized posthumously with a special medal for heroism. It was called the Four Chaplains Medal. They couldn't get the Medal of Honor, which they certainly would have earned, because this was not something that happened under fire. So instead, Congress authorized the Four Chaplains Medal, and the President of the United States awarded that in 1961. That medal was never given before, and according to the way it was written, it will never be given again. Remarkable selfless service by the four chaplains.
Chaplain, we hear the story of the Immortal Chaplains every year about this time, but what else do Army chaplains do to remember this?
Well, I think that's a great segue, something I want to talk about in our next segment, because we always remember the story of the Immortal Four Chaplains, and we bring it up every year as a way to bring that to our remembrance.
Chaplain, we have to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Immortal Four Chaplains and how you minister to all different types of religions while you're deployed overseas. This is Minnesota Military Radio with Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn talking about the four immortal chaplains. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting this last segment and with Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn from the Minnesota National Guard, and we've been talking about the immortal chaplains of World War II. And Chaplain, I started asking you before the break, how do Army chaplains continue to honor the spirit of these four brave chaplains?
Well, you know, as we've talked about, the sacrifice of the four chaplains and their example under duress up to the cost of their lives, that provides our present-day chaplain corps this incredible example of the commitment and sacrifice that all chaplains share as they serve soldiers and family members. And I say that on the Army side. We deploy overseas. When soldiers go somewhere, we want to ensure that chaplains are there to ensure that the soldiers' constitutional right to worship is guaranteed. And so where soldiers go, we go. We walk and talk and act and sound just like a soldier because chaplains and chaplain assistants are soldiers. When you get overseas, it's very interesting. It's not like driving across town to your local faith community, to your church, your synagogue, your mosque. or your temple. So, for example, if I'm deployed overseas, we may find, and this is just, you know, based on numbers and facts, you know, we have a shortage of Catholic priests in the armed forces. We're recruiting. We're working with local dioceses and bishops to you know, add to our numbers of Catholic priests. But for example, if a Catholic soldier comes up to me in the theater and they need a Catholic priest, as a Protestant minister, I may not be able to provide for their faith needs. However, I'm going to treat that soldier with the same dignity and respect as I would any soldier, and I'm going to work very diligently to coordinate to get a priest there. And in some cases, we may have to take the soldier to the Catholic priest or the chaplain of their particular faith group to ensure that their needs are met. You know, sometimes the mission, which always comes first, might cause a delay in that happening. But that's the spirit of what we do, and that's inherent in our role as chaplains, to ensure that every soldier has the opportunity to engage resources consistent with their faith tradition, whether that's worship, whether that's rites and rituals, or perhaps even just, you know, study and reading materials, things of that nature.
Chaplain, I know we talked about that before, and when you are deployed, if there are other units, even if there are other branches of service in the area, and you know that they've got the particular chaplain you're looking for, you guys all work together, don't you?
That's right, Tom. When I was at Camp Arif John in Kuwait, we had Army, we had Navy, and we had Air Force chaplains right there at Camp Arif John. So, you know, if I had a particularly unique faith group in one of my Army chaplains, and I had an airman or a sailor that came up, the uniform, the service branch doesn't matter. It's about the needs of the service member, and we don't take that really into consideration. We might try to connect them, you know, with someone of their like service branch because they speak a more common language, but that's not a discriminating factor.
And Chaplain, back to that other question, how do Army chaplains continue to honor the spirit of these chaplains?
Well, Four Chaplains Day is observed on February 3rd of every year in honor of their service and sacrifice. In fact, little known fact, U.S. Senator Rod Grams back in 1998 moved legislation forward that the United States Congress unanimously passed, and it was a resolution that designates February 3rd as Four Chaplains Day. So it is a day of commemoration of the sacrifice of these four chaplains. So here in Minnesota, on the first Sunday in February, as they have done for many decades, the Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel Foundation is going to host a Four Chaplains Remembrance Service. This will be done at Fort Snelling in the historic chapel. It's a beautiful facility, 11 o'clock on Sunday the 1st. And in fact, in the chapel, you have the ability to see a rare sighting, and that is a permanently stained glass window that depicts the four chaplains. It is really special. I'll be there with Chaplain Ken Beal, who is the pastor there at Fort Snelling, and I hope you can join us.
Well, Chaplain, I'll have to check my schedule on that one. We'll let you know.
Well, please consider that an invite, Tom.
Chaplain, we got about 30 seconds left. How's the status of our soldiers and airmen in the Minnesota National Guard? How are they doing spiritually?
Well, Tom, we've got about 200 members of the Minnesota National Guard deployed overseas, including two chaplains. As we heard recently, the 34th Infantry Division was stood down from their the potential mission that they had to head over to Liberia. So as is our mission, we stand always ready. Chaplains serve and stand always ready to provide for the needs of our soldiers, our airmen, and their families.
Chaplain, I'd like to thank you for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great weekend.
Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn talking about the four immortal chaplains of World War II. Joining me now is David Anderson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer. David, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Dave, I think today we wanted to talk about a topic that's been around for a long time, but it's probably changed some, and that's guaranteed home loans for veterans.
Yes, the Veterans Home Loan Program was started shortly after World War II to allow returning VIs to own their own homes. And it's usually for veterans that have service, either active duty service or a certain amount of time period in the United States National Guard. So it differs a little bit from some of the other VA programs.
David, it's my understanding that for World War II, Korea, and my Vietnam buddies, the programs were pretty static and stable. But these days, with all of the deployments for the Guard and Reserves, there's a lot of different qualifications to be eligible.
Yes, and they haven't Over the years, they haven't changed too much. But, yeah, with the deployments and things like that, a lot of the Guard and reservists are becoming eligible for veterans' home loans themselves.
So how much time do they have to put in on deployments or active duty to be eligible?
Well, you need to have the amount, you have to complete the amount of active duty ordered for the veterans' home loan itself. Otherwise, if you're a regular Army, Air Force, or anything like that, just your tour of duty, either 2 years, 4 years, 6 years.
So once again, if the veteran or the National Guard or reservist takes their discharge papers and comes and sees their county veteran service officer, then you can make a determination of whether or not they're eligible for benefits, including who would qualify for veterans' home loans.
Exactly. You're exactly right, Tom.
Now, what are the advantages to having a veterans' home loan for those that aren't familiar with it?
Well, the advantage to a veteran home loan is that most veterans, most people, when they get their first home, they can afford their monthly payments. It's just coming up with the 20% down that tends to be the problem. Well, with a veteran's home loan, you can take your down payment and roll it into the total cost of the home. So you don't have to try to find, a $100,000 loan. You don't have to try to find $20,000 to come up with to qualify for the loan. And also, if you have a veteran's guaranteed home loan, you don't have to have the private mortgage insurance along with it. That's one of the requirements you don't have to have.
So with the federal veterans guarantee, then the bankers can be a little more lenient in terms of how much money they can lend, up to 100% of the home, and their special rates as well.
Exactly, yep.
David, we got about 30 seconds left. How important is it for veterans to go register with their county veteran service officer, even if they don't need anything right now?
Well, it's extremely important, Tom, because if you can put a face to a name, if you can get your DD-214 in there and registered, who's to say that you may not need it now, but in the future you will need it, then you'll know where they're at, and they can help you at any point in time.
So get that discharge certificate, go see your county veteran service officer. He'll make copies of it, get you in the system, and if you or your family ever needs it, it's there.
It doesn't hurt to bring the wife along so she can, meet the veteran service officer, shake hands, because if something unforeseen did happen, then she'd know who to talk to for, any of the benefits.
And, of course, these days they might want to bring the husband along because the wife might be the veteran.
Well, yep, and I guess I should probably think that way too. Yes, Tom, you're 100% right.
David, thanks for joining us again today.
Well, and I thank you, Tom.
That was David Anderson, the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and hit Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Annette Kuiper, Tom Hammond, Mark Martin from General Mills, Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn, David Anderson, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about how we'll find out all about the great things that are happening at Camp Ripley this summer and hear about the proposed legislation that affects military retirement pay. That's coming up next weekend on the station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.